I want to talk today about something I call people people. People who are good with people. People who know how to interact with people. And especially people who are willing to learn. People who are on a learning curve. And learning how every day, a little bit at a time, a little better every day, to be warmer with people, to make people more relaxed, to make people feel more comfortable. Because so much of business depends on that. It's amazing to me how little companies pay attention to the factor called the people factor and how people interact with people. I want to tell you a little story. It's very short. I walked into a store, and it just happened to be an auto parts store. And I'm not going to tell you the name of the store because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because this is like stories that happen across the world every day, all day, every minute, even as we're sitting here right now, it's happening right now. I walked into this store, and there was something wrong with my battery. So I walked up to the counter, and the guy behind the counter didn't look at me. Now, it wasn't as if there were 100 other things going on or other people he was attending to. He was looking down, something to do with his cash drawer, and he didn't look up. Well, I thought, well, something's going on here. So I stood there for a minute, and then I said, excuse me, sir? And he still didn't look up. And he said, I have to change the cash drawer. And I said, oh, okay, but could I ask you a question? And then he just turned around and walked away, still not having made any kind of eye contact with me. And I thought to myself, gee, this is not very warm. It's not very friendly. I'm not a real expert when it comes to cars. I'm not a mechanic. I'm a little intimidated to begin with coming in here. And now this guy is acting like he's mad at me. He's acting like I've ruined his day. He's acting like I'm one more hassle to him. And so I sort of looked over to another person and I said, I wonder if you could help me. And the guy kind of rolled his eyes and kind of looked over at me as if, well, yeah, I guess so. I'm not really supposed to. I mean, it's not really my territory, that guy right there. And I said, well, you know what? Why don't you just tell me what that guy's name is? You know, I may want to know that someday. Well, I can't give you his last name. His first name is Richard. Oh, okay. So Richard comes back, and Richard says, what do you want? And he still doesn't look at me. And I said, well, maybe this other guy can help me. And the other guy finally helped me. And the guy helped me, but sort of reluctantly, like it wasn't really his job. And I finally got taken care of, and I finally had my battery taken care of. And the thing that really occurred to me as I left the place was where my mind was going and what was happening inside my own emotional system and inside my own mind. What was happening to me was that I was thinking, if I ever have a choice again, if there's ever any other auto parts store in my area that I can go to other than this one, I will go to it. In other words, I'm not coming back. And I think that's so common and so typical everywhere is that people make up their minds whether to come back, not just because of price, even though on surveys they will say they shop because of price. And then the company runs in and says, oh, look, more than 40% of customers shop because of price. But, you know, surveys have not always proven to be correct. Many times people will answer a survey trying not to look stupid, and so they say, I shop because of price, I shop because of intellectual reasons, and I am very smart and I scout things out, when in truth, they shop because of the buying experience. And so here I am in this store. And it only took a few minutes, but I made up my mind I'm not going back. Now, how many people go into that store with a similar experience, making up their minds that they're not going back? Or at the very least, deciding for themselves, you know, I didn't have a very good buying experience in there, and it wasn't very pleasant. Maybe there's somewhere else I can shop. So the point is this. That one little thing, that inability to be a people person, has cost that little store a ton of business, and you don't know how many times throughout the day, throughout the month, throughout the year, they're turning people away in the most subtle ways, just in ways that you couldn't really measure. So the lesson is this. The most important aspect of your people who interact with customers or clients is whether they're good with people. And we need to pay attention to that. Not enough attention is paid to that. Now, where does this begin? Where does the attention start? Where is it most important to focus attention on people? Well, obviously, it's in the hiring process. So let's look at that first. Any of us who have anything to do with the hiring process, whether we're in on interviews, whether we're referring people in, whether any aspect of it, any way that we touch that process at all, the first thing we really want to pay attention to is this person that we're considering hiring a people person? And here's what I mean by that. Is this person someone that the customer and the client will warm up to, will enjoy, will like, will cause a kind of warm family feeling, a friendly feeling? Now, I don't care myself how much knowledge this guy Richard had about batteries when I walked in. It doesn't matter to me that much. I don't care that much about technical skill. I don't care how many years he's been in the business. I don't care all the things that most people hire people for. I don't care about. And I'm the customer. Here's what I care about. Is my buying experience one that I enjoy? Is my buying experience one that I will think back on fondly so that I need something else and I know where to go? And I say, oh, I like those guys. Even if it's subconscious. You know, people subconsciously respond to some people and not to others. People will go to a certain grocery store or supermarket knowing that some of the prices are higher. They just like the feeling they have being in there. So my going back to that store is based on my experience with that person. If I'm hiring people, the first thing I want to look at is how do I feel when I'm interviewing this person? What is this person like? Do they make eye contact? Are they friendly? And here's a word that is not very business, not very macho, not very powerful. Nice. Is it a nice person? I mean, a very important question. Are these people who enjoy talking to other people? Do they have a sense of humor? Are they lighthearted? Are they warm? Do they relax you in their presence? Do you get a good feeling like you're in the presence of a happy person? If they have these qualities, and if these qualities are at the top of my list as I'm hiring people, I'm going to grow my business so much faster. Let's look at an example of that. Southwest Airlines. You always read in the news about all the airlines who need help. They need bailing out. They need government money. And then they list all these reasons why they need it. Well, times are tough, and we had September 11th, and this happened, and that happened, and regulation, and deregulation. And they've got a list of 100 excuses. But there's always one airline that doesn't need help because it's profitable, because it makes money. And the reason it makes money is because they pay attention to this factor that I call people. Right from the beginning, Southwest Airlines has made it a policy of hiring people who enjoy other people. They've made it a strict policy of hiring people who have that sense of humor, who have that light touch, who have that twinkle in their eye, who have an easy warmth to them. And when other people interact with them, it's a happy, friendly experience. By making it a deliberate strategy to hire people, They've been able to do amazing things with the bottom line. They've been able to cut prices. They've been able to reduce amenities. They've been able to not give people reserved seats. All kinds of things. And the reason they do it and it succeeds for them is because their people are so warm and friendly that they make the flying experience, the buying experience, the entire experience a friendly one. All you have to do to really check out the profound impact of having a policy of hiring people versus not, go to the airport someday and take a little extra time and walk up to another airline's counter and ask a few innocent questions. And then walk over to Southwest Airlines counter and ask them the same questions and see the response you get. I've done this because I travel a lot, a number of times. I've asked a number of questions of a number of airline employees over the last few years. And you really see the difference. You really see the profound difference in the kinds of people they hire. If you walk up to the Southwest Airlines counter, all of a sudden people are glad to see you, like, oh, hi. They welcome you. They have a policy of making people feel welcome. I mean, it's simply a policy. It's in the DNA of the organization. And they hire people who can do it and who enjoy doing it and who almost do it naturally. Obviously, it doesn't come naturally. People have to remember to do it. But they do it all day long. All you have to do is study the profit and loss figures and study the bottom line of Southwest Airlines, and you will see the profound impact it has on a business when people pay a lot of attention to whom they hire. Most people hire to fill a need. They hire quickly. Somebody needs somebody to fill an opening. Somebody left or we're expanding, and they hire very quickly. And the leaders and managers scurry around, and they're multitasking, and they're asking themselves, okay, now we got to do this hiring real quickly now. We've got to run out and hire somebody. We've got to do this quickly, and so I don't have much time, and I was going to interview him from 4 until 5, but it turns out at 4:30 I've got to do something else, so I'll just interview him for maybe 20 minutes. I'll sit in on part of the interview. And everything goes bang, bang, bang. Everything is really rushed. I don't really relax into the interview. And my attention in the interview is transmitted to the interviewee. So the interviewee becomes a little tense. And so I don't really get a good feeling for who this person is. But it doesn't matter. I need them so badly. And I look at their resume and it looks like, hey, you know, this person's got experience and no criminal record that we know of, and so they're in. Well, that's how people build businesses that end up with people like Richard waiting on me. And then the customer decides, I'm not going back there. Whether they decide it consciously or subconsciously, they do make that decision. Step one in building a team of people is to expand the time I spend in interviews so that I really get a feeling of who's sitting across from me, so that I can relax totally in the interview, and so can the person in the interview, and I can tell after a while whether I have someone who enjoys being friendly with another person or someone who doesn't. Now, it doesn't matter how much this person knows about the business and about our product. It doesn't matter. It also doesn't matter how good a record this person has for showing up on time, being a loyal employee. If this person is going to send people out with a kind of bad feeling, with a sense of I didn't enjoy the buying experience. So it's vital. It's key. Many managers become hardened. They become cynical. And they become skeptical themselves. And so they stop valuing this quality in another human being. and they don't know why their stores or their companies or their teams aren't doing as well. They totally can't figure that out. The first part is the hiring. If I were to hire people, and if I were to raise my standards of hiring this kind of person and really make certain that this person passes the test, and a lot of people have talked to this person, a lot of people have been able to feedback to me and answer my question, is this person someone who would relax one of our customers, someone the customers would enjoy, get a kick out of, have fun being around, be relaxed in the presence of, get a good feeling from? Is this a person who's going to be in good spirits? If the people who talk to this person in the interview process can say, oh, yes, oh, way above average, really one of the happier people, one of the nicer people we've ever interviewed, then I say, fine, that person's in, and we're going to build an entire team on that standard. All right, let's go to the second part of this concept, people. The first good thing about having a people person on board after I've hired that person is how well he or she treats customers. Giving the customers a good buying experience so that they come back. Not only do they come back, but they refer other customers. So that's one part. Here's another part. People who are good with people, people who like people who have that good spirit to them, that twinkle in their eye, who jump out and serve and help and take care of other people quickly, are less likely to lie, to cheat, to steal, and to sabotage the morale of the team. People are not people who turn around and become Jekyll and Hyde and steal from the company, or lie, or fudge, or show up late all the time and not give you a good excuse. There's a very direct connection between how people treat people in a conversation, over the telephone, in an interview, and how they treat the whole team by not doing cynical, skeptical things. For an employee to become a, quote, problem employee, they have to have a very low regard for this thing called team and for relationships in general. For an employee to become a problem employee, and I mean a real problem, sabotage, undermining morale in a very dramatic way, lying, cheating, filling out forms and cheating on the forms, literally stealing, and this happens to every single company, where employees will literally steal from the company. These people, to do all these things, must be cynical, skeptical people. They must be pessimistic, cynical, and skeptical about relationships with other people. And I can pick up on that when I hire people. People often ask, what's the fastest way to clean up the organization and clean up the team and clean up the district or clean up the store or clean up any group of people when there's been some problem people in that group? And the fastest way to have that happen is to have a very high standard on the scale of optimism on the top, pessimism on the bottom, warmth and kindness and friendly demeanor on the top, and skepticism, pessimism, and cynicism on the bottom. Now, you can see cynicism in someone's face. You can hear sarcasm even in a long interview with a person. That's why hiring interviews need to be longer than normal, so we can pick up on the real person who's there. Anyone who's got that level of cynicism, the macho skeptic, the pessimist, and you know those kinds of people and what they're like and how they grumble and groan, and they even have that tone in their voice. And when they answer the phone, you can hear it in their voice. Hello, da-da-da-da. and you hear that blah, 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 and they act like they're all gruff and macho and professional and professional and gruff and macho and all that. They're not people, people. They are not people, people. The ancient Chinese had a saying that I think was very profound. And they said, a man without a smile should not open up a shop. And that's very profound and it's very true. And a lot of people think, oh, this is the soft side of business. This isn't reality. This isn't the hard, macho, numbers crunching we need to do. This is the softer side. But the answer is, this is business. Relationships grow a business. People grow a business. A business does not grow without people returning to the store. They will not return to a store that has a pessimist behind one counter, a cynic behind the other, and a skeptic walking the aisles of product. They will not come back in. And we pay far too little attention to that when we create our teams. The second thing we do is we pay far too little attention to that when we talk to our teams and when we role model for our teams. If I'm a leader, I want to role model happiness for my team. When a customer comes in, I want to absolutely brighten up and smile and slow down and welcome the customer and show the team that's what we do. That's who we are. I don't want to be a tough guy who argues with a customer, who disagrees, who stands up for my team in the face of a tough customer. I don't want to create that kind of environment. And if my team gets confused, why are you doing this? I want to get a little huddle together and say, this business will grow one way, the same way Southwest Airlines has grown into a dynamic, wealthy organization, by paying attention to how people treat people. And I want to have that be the standard so that if I have a cynic on my team or a pessimist, that person sticks out like a sore thumb and everybody looks over at that person when they mistreat a customer and goes, whoa, what's the deal with you? Are you having a hard day? And that person is frog marched out of the store and taken behind the store, not for a beating, but for a very nice, wonderful talk about what the store is going to be based on, what the company, what the team is going to be based on. It's going to be based on people, and it's going to be based on people who are good with people. It's going to be based on people who relax other people when they come in, who make other people feel welcome. And those kinds of people, the more of them I hire, the more integrity I'll have in my store, the less absenteeism, I will have less theft, lying, cheating, and any of those very serious problems that every company in America faces. Keep this in mind. No one will do those damaging things to your team if they are carefully hired and you determine for yourself that this is a wonderful people person. There may be one out of every 1,000 exceptions to that rule. I mean a genuine, friendly, warm, service-based, happy people person. Happy people don't have to cheat. They don't even try to cheat. The mind doesn't even go there. I need to build my team that way, and I need to be proud of how I've set the bar very high and how I've required that my team be a people team and that my team pays more attention to the people factor than any other team I can think of, especially on the competitor's side. One of the most important things I can do if I'm a leader of any team, after I've made up my mind, I'm definitely going to create a team of people who are really good with people. Once I've made up my mind I'm going to do that, one of the best things I can do is let the existing team know why I'm doing this and why we are doing this and how it's going to lead to increased referrals. It's going to lead to more repeat visits from customers. And it's got a very great cold-blooded strategic bottom line motivation. It's not about being nice. And it's not about some kind of soft thing. I haven't gone soft. Actually, what I've done is I've studied American business, and I've realized that businesses, groups, teams, any entity that has figured out how to enhance the buying experience will experience an increase in business. And the greatest way to enhance a buying experience is to have someone standing behind the counter or on the other end of the phone or anywhere we encounter that person who is fun to be with and who is welcoming by their very personality, by their very demeanor. And they don't all have to be the same. You can have a low-key, happy, welcoming person as well as a very exuberant, outgoing, welcoming person as long as they're really welcoming and they're really concerned about the customer. And they're really friendly, and they're really upbeat, and they're very lighthearted. And that kind of person is going to serve my team in so many ways. They really are, in a certain sense, a better person, a more high-quality person. You know, studies show children in a good mood learn over 300% more than children in a bad mood. And they've done studies now in preschools and in kindergartens in first and second grade that confirm this. And the reason for this is that people in a good mood are using more of their brain. They're drawing on more of their very human resources. They've got more imagination working. In the bicameral model, they have more of their right brain interacting with their left brain when they're happy. They've got the endorphins going. A smile will alter the brain chemistry in a human being. And yet this person that I told you about, that I walked into and looked at, had a bitter face. He had a pessimistic, cynical, skeptical, scrunched-up face, like someone had just jammed a lemon into his mouth. And he was staring at the cash drawer and wouldn't even make eye contact. So now that's not the kind of person who's going to be able to use all of his resources to serve me. In fact, that person's kind of a non-person driving me away. It's very important that these rational, strategic motives behind building a team of people are explained to my existing team so that they understand that from now on, we will not hire skeptics or cynics or pessimists and bring them on board. We just won't do that. And I want them to know why. And the more they understand why, the more their level of understanding goes up, the easier it is for them to treat people really well when they come in. Because now they've got rationale. Now they've got strategy behind it. Now they see a career curve that benefits from this. And I, as a leader, owe it to my team to explain the strategy over and over from many different angles. See, this strategy of building an entire group of people is not just some blue sky thing. When you look at Southwest Airlines, when you look at some other places like Land's End, other places that have just been unexplainably profitable, unexplainable. When you look deeper, you can explain it. They have set the bar so high for individual people on the team being good with people that they've grown their business tremendously out of that. And that's the strategy that I want my team to understand. Because it's not about calling a meeting and getting them pumped up and giving them some big talk about it. That's not going to do it. That's going to have the cynics and the pessimists and the skeptics rolling their eyes and saying sarcastic things afterward. I want those people who are on the edge, those people who can still be saved and still become really good people, I want them to get it. All people have to do is get it. I want them to just get it, just understand it. And understanding is where transformation comes from. Understanding is where change comes from in a human being. It doesn't come from other things. It comes from understanding. And I, as a leader, have a huge opportunity to explain to my team why this is important, why it's going to grow our business, and also to role model it so that when I'm with them, I'm relaxed, I'm lighthearted, I'm in a good mood, I am optimistic, and I don't allow them to see pessimism, cynicism, skepticism, and all that stuff. Not a part of my team, not how we're going to operate.